mentioned there, the Contact and Trace app will also allow you to check in at pubs and restaurants by scanning a QR code. It just looks like you've seen it. It's a square. It looks like a jigsaw puzzle. And take a picture of it with your phone. It'll take you to the website, and that's where you log in and you register. And then later on, if a place is identified as a COVID hotspot, you'll get a message on your phone. You'll get an alert on your phone, perhaps telling you to self-isolate. Now, the app's been trialled in Newham in East London. The BBC's technology correspondent, Rory Kethlen-Jones, has been finding out what people think about this new app.
Have you seen this app?
Not this one.
It's being tried out in Newham. It's the NHS COVID-19 app.
That's good.
But you hadn't heard about it?
No, I haven't heard of it, no.
What about you? Have you heard of this NHS COVID-19 contact tracing app being tried in Newham?
Even if I have heard of it, I wouldn't even trust it.
I'm taking responsibility for my actions in my own way. I don't need that.
I don't need that. I'm taking responsibility for my actions in my own way. Yes, I have heard about it and I wouldn't download it because I wouldn't trust it. Interesting comments there. Anyone over the age of 16 were being asked, encouraged to install the app on your smartphone for iPhone users. It can be downloaded from the App Store if you use Android. You know where to get it. It will be on Google Play if you want it. It's NHS COVID-19 is the name of the app. And as we do on a Thursday, let's have a chat with Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the School of Tropical Medicine. We've heard what some people in the capital think about the app, Bertie. What are your thoughts on this app? Will it work? It depends on how many people download it, I suppose.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Snelly. I guess one of my thoughts about the app is that we need to think about how people react to new things. And I think there are always some people who are early adopters and some people who are suspicious and later adopters. And I think that's always going to be one of the issues. The other is that we need to remember that we are trying to find as many new ways as possible of improving our ability to control this disease. And so I welcome this. I mean, I think that it's good that we're thinking about new ways of helping people to understand what their risks might be, helping people to understand what actions they should take. And so I certainly think that there are going to be those people who are, if you like, tech friendly, who I think will gel with this. And as it rolls, I think it has the potential to help.
One gentleman there that we heard from before, he was talking about his details, if you like. If you scan the Q code, it will take you to a website. This is the Q code. This is not the app. I've not downloaded the app yet. You put your name, your details, where you live, and of course, if you've got your location turned on your phone as well. You know, a lot of private details in there. People are twitchy about where will this information be in a year's time, in 5 years' time? Where will it be? Where will it be held? What will it be used for? Will it be deleted? So there's the element of that. And you can understand to a certain degree why people are a little bit wary about this. However, there will be the other people who'll say, well, if you've got nothing to worry about, well, you know, we'll just download the app.
Yes, I think you're right. There will be a range of feeling about that. What I think we do need to remember is that the way the app will work is it won't come back to you. If, for example, you get a notification on your phone saying you need to self-isolate, it won't say because you were talking to Snelly on the radio yesterday. It will just say you need to isolate, and there will be no release to the individual of the details there. So, but you're right, everyone should be concerned about where personal details are held. I do think that it's under the same legislation about all sorts of other personal details that we're constantly putting out when we browse on our phones or on our computers. And my own feeling is that we should embrace this. There will be the human element in it working. So if I can give you one example, It asks you to try to remember to turn off the phone when, for example, you might be at work and you might be close to somebody else, but that somebody else is actually wearing PPE, for example, or behind a screen, because otherwise it's going to detect that phone within that distance. So there are going to be there are going to be, there's going to be a need for those of us who use it to look carefully at how it works and use it in the most sensible way.
Right, so we're going to have to babysit this to a certain degree then, are we? You can't just, you know, turn it on, leave it and go about your day and just hope you don't get an alert.
I think that's right. And it's about, it is about understanding how, have a look at how it works, read the instructions, as we always say, right. and take it from there. But I welcome it. We need to remember there's a human element behind this, that in the end, the linkage to outbreaks and support from public health authorities, those are also going to remain really important.
Another week, Bertie, and another set of instructions to follow. Your thoughts on the latest restrictions and their timings?
Yes, my thoughts on this are that it's always hard to plan for the future, and it's particularly hard to understand what that planning is based upon when there are so many numbers being talked about and some uncertainty about those numbers. So I completely understand that this is a hot topic of conversation. I thought I'd just share a couple of numbers that I found helpful. One is that if you think back right now, if you think just about hospital admissions in England, there are 200 admissions per day in England, doubling every 8 days. If you compare that to what was happening in March and April, it was 3,000 admissions per day, doubling every 3 to 4 days. So the rise is significant, but remember, it's not as bad as it was back in April. And for me, that means that we've got an opportunity to take action now. So I think it's timely that we are thinking about taking collective action to reduce the risks of those numbers continuing to rise.
And it's right in what you say. When we look back to those dark days of April and May and hospital admissions, yes, they are low compared to that at the moment. And I don't know what you're like. When, you know, the BBC released these figures late in the afternoon, we see the new cases. I always wait to see of new fatalities as well. And they've been slowly kind of edging up through the week. I think it was 34 or 35 yesterday, but we've been around the single figures. But they are rising. But as you say, and it's important to mention, that we are nowhere near where we were back in April and May. And this is the main reason for these new restrictions, to stop us getting back to that place.
Absolutely. So the deaths in England were 5 deaths per day. At the lowest point, and they've gone up to 15 deaths per day in England. So they have tripled, but they are small numbers. But you're absolutely right. I think we need to be sensitive to those numbers and respond. And I think that's what lies behind these new measures. And I think it's worth us all remembering my own. I've been an advocate that we will manage this if we are all in it together. I don't think this is one part of society's problem. I think it's all of us.
And just before we finish, we love your crumb of comforts, and I think you've already embedded one in there. We're talking about those figures there as well. But I know we're all focused on what's happening with COVID here in Liverpool in the UK. But can you say anything about what's happening overseas where the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine work? Because I know this is very close to your heart, this.
Thank you, Snelly. I always like to bring in something about what we do overseas, and so I'm really pleased you asked. I was planning for two crumbs of comfort. What the first is that we're in regular contact with colleagues in Southern Africa, and particularly in a country, small country called Malawi. And there, it's the situation for COVID is looking good. The number of hospital admissions has fallen. There's nobody in ITU, and life is returning in the local hospital where we have associations, and life is really returning to normal. And the second crumb of comfort is that Malawi is one of the partner countries, along with Nigeria, Uganda, and Kenya, in a research consortium on tuberculosis that I am research director for, and which we're launching actually tomorrow. I talked about the funding we received some weeks ago, but we've got our virtual launch meeting, which will see lots of our partners from all over the world and the UK coming together. And we're developing work there that's aimed at improving access to diagnosis and treatment for TB. And it also includes work on improving systems for COVID-19 responses.
Betty, as ever, great to talk to you. And thanks very much indeed for going at an extra pace to finish your run to get on the radio with us this morning. Really do appreciate that. Thank you very much indeed. There he is. There's, and he said Sir Bertie Squires.
We've elevated him.
I don't know where that came from. Thank you very much indeed. Professor, not sir, well, not yet. Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. And we do, we are very conscious about talking about figures. And yes, when people do succumb to this awful, awful disease, you know, we do make a point of saying, you know, how difficult it is for families, and one death is one death too many from this. But as Bertie says, the figures are way, way down compared to where we were in April and May. Yeah. And that's the point of why we're doing this and these new restrictions, to make sure that we don't get back to those days of April and May. So good to have Bertie on the programme this morning. Thank you for that. Let's get a little bit of travel news.